Grace and peace be unto you from God, who is our Father and Mother, and from Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. Amen. November is almost here. Or to be more specifically, what is it November for? Election day? The 8th. So find out when elections are, and if you haven't registered to vote, do so. It's not just a privilege, but it's also a civic duty that we have. We must vote. So we are getting close to that day, and yet when I walk around, I don't see that many signs the way that I've seen in past years. Now, what I do see, and I see a lot of it, is fear. I don't know if you have noticed, but there's so much fear in the air that it's almost like the fog that I saw as I was driving here. I could almost caught it with the knife. As a matter of fact, I have the suspicion that for many, many voters, when they are going to vote, they're voting more out of fear that the other person, whoever that is, will become elected than out of joy that their candidate will get elected. There is a lot of fear in the air. But it's not just in the political sphere. We also have a lot of fear for years now in terms of terrorism. The other day, I was going to travel to New York to visit with my father. And as I was going to get in the airplane, all of a sudden it hit me. I am flying on September 11. Exactly. that was my reaction as well. There is a lot of fear in the air. There is also fear with global warming and what's happening to our planet and the species that are getting extinct. As a matter of fact, I went to a conference a couple years ago for pastoral care counselors, and they were saying that they're beginning to notice a new syndrome in young adults that is specific to anxiety about global warming. I forget what they're naming it, but it was specific about that. And those that don't care or don't believe in global warming, they're scared anyway because they're scared about the economy. And the economy sometimes it's not doing so well, and people are scared about what bills, how are we going to pay for our bills? We're scared about jobs. We're scared about the future of our country and the future of our children. So there's a lot of fear in the air, and I can go on and on. If I was in Puerto Rico, I would talk about Zika, the Zika virus. So there's a lot of fear in the air. And a little bit of fear, it's helpful. But when we live in a constant state of fear, then fear becomes toxic, becomes nocive. As a matter of fact, fear, when you live in a constant state of fear, it creates stress. It makes you be stressed. And stress increases the levels of cortisol and other hormones in your blood that can be harmful. When you have high levels of cortisol in your blood, you start to get a weakened immune system, and you get sicker easier and more times. If you continue to be in a state of stress for too long and of fear for too long, you even begin to lose muscle mass and bone mass. And what is very interesting is that you even begin to have problems with your memory because your hippocampus in the brain gets atrophied a little bit. However, fear has a straight path in our brain to something called the amygdala, and through the amygdala to our action. So when we get afraid of something, we immediately act. So we either, what is the expression, fly or flight? Fight or flight, or we cannot freeze. Fight, flight, or freeze response. And we react to the thing that we are fearful about before we even know that we are scared of something, before we even know what we're doing. In other words, fear circumvents thinking, and it makes us act without thinking. Now, sometimes that's important and necessary. If there's a car coming at me really fast, I don't want to stop and think, there's a car coming, I better get out of I want to act quickly, right? But if I'm in a constant state of fear, and I'm constantly acting simply out of fear without really thinking, and I'm having problems remembering because my hippocampus is compromised, and yet, because of the amygdala, I'm able to remember the fearful things, all of a sudden I have a very distorted view of reality. I see more the negative things, and I see less the positive things. Now, I don't mean to make you scared of fear. I don't want to make you fearful of fear, because that's not helpful. But I do think that we live in times of fear. Now, it also, in addition to destroying our individual bodies, it also destroys our collective body, that is our society. Because fear makes us, well, fearful of each other. It makes us suspicious of each other. It makes us draw lines on the ground of who's with us and who is with them, who is friend and who is foe, who is the enemy. It also makes us spend a lot of resources in arsenal to be able to address the enemy, to be able to attack the enemy, to be able to tear down the other, the enemy. And yet we don't put as many resources in things that build us up as a community. So fear is dangerous. Now, the opposite of fear, I believe, is faith. So if fear is that which allows us to perceive a threat when it's in front of us, I think that faith is what allows us to see beyond that threat and to see the possibilities that lie beyond that threat. I think that faith is the conviction, as we were saying at the beginning of the service, of the goodness of God. Faith is the conviction that God, who is the source and the ground of our lives and of everything that exists, is ultimately good, even in spite of what we see. It allows us to walk through situations of fear and danger without surrendering. Now, there are examples of what it means to have faith in daily life. And there are examples that we don't even realize that we are using faith. Let me give you one of those. Let me show you one of those examples. I said that God is like the ground of everything. Well, let's talk about the literal ground. When you woke up this morning, before getting off bed, did you check to make sure that the ground was still solid, that it was going to be able to hold your weight? You probably didn't, unless you have some balance problems, but you were not checking the ground. You were checking your balance. When you went out of the house, did you check to make sure that the ground outside is solid? You didn't. So in a sense, we have a lot of trust in the ground. We have faith in the ground and in the floor that it will be able to hold our weight. And so we walk, and the floor, the ground, it's always there to hold us. And so when there's a storm, we can hold on to the ground. And when there's fog, we can still trust that the ground will hold our weight as we navigate our way out of the storm. So faith is that trust of the heart that clings to God as the ground of our being, the ground that is good, that is ultimately good. Now, I think that I cannot measure how much faith you have on the floor. Either you have faith or not, right? You believe it or you don't believe. In today's gospel, the apostles tell Jesus, increase our faith. Give us more faith. And Jesus explains to them that it's not a matter of accumulating faith the way that we accumulate money in the bank. That it's really a matter of having faith or not having faith. He tells them, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, which was one of the smallest seeds that they knew, you could say to this mulberry tree, and I'm told that the mulberry tree was known in Jesus' times to be very, very hard to uproot. It was very difficult to uproot. We were having a conversation yesterday about uprooting trees and how complicated and hard it is and very, very expensive. So Jesus uses that example precisely because the tree is so hard and almost impossible to uproot. And he says, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could tell this mulberry tree, uproot yourself and plant and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, this is not a lesson on the mechanics of faith. This is not to be understood literally. This is not a test of faith for you to stand in front of a tree and start ordering things. And maybe in this case it's obvious, but it's not so obvious in other sayings of Jesus. This is a statement on the power of faith. This is hyperbole. This is a figure of speech to make clear a point that if you have faith, then faith, there's even an element of the absurd in faith. There's an audacity in faith that allows you to face situations that sometimes negate the goodness of God, and you still stand firm believing that God is good. The first reading that we heard today from Habakkuk is a clear example of that. Habakkuk is a prophet that is speaking in the midst of the Babylonian deportation. The Babylonians had come. They had destroyed a lot of Jerusalem and killed many of the royalty, and they had sent them into exile. And then from exile, Habakkuk, the prophet, is asking God, how long? How long? How long are you going to allow this to happen? What's going on? And the answer for Habakkuk is, God is faithful. God is faithful. God's promises will come to pass. So even in that situation that is so fearful, he is called to live by hope, to live by faith. In the second reading for today, Paul is writing from prison, and he's telling Timothy, do not be ashamed by the fact that I'm in prison. But even from within prison, he believes. He says, do not allow a spirit of cowardice to be in you, but have a spirit of courage and of faith. So faith is the opposite of fear. When faith goes up, fear comes down. It doesn't eliminate fear, but it reins it in the way that we rein in a horse. It gives it its proper place. It controls it. It allows us to face fearful situations without being dominated by them. It allows us to be able to look fear, to look at evil, to look at fearful situations and not be dominated by them. Having God as our ground, having God as our floor, or in the biblical images, as our rock, we're able to anchor ourselves to God when there's a storm going on. God is the ground that will hold us. When there is a situation that is foggy, when there's a situation that is dark, it's the ground that allows us to be able to navigate right through the valley of shadow of death so that we can find the exit on the other side. And sometimes God is just that ground that we just sit down and we cry because we just have to cry, but knowing that this too shall pass. This is the faith in the goodness of God that has allowed so many of the saints that we admire throughout history to do wonderful things. Even in the midst of tyrannies, even in the midst of horrible situations, they have been able to be faithful and to do good. This is the faith that will inspire us, no matter who wins the election now or 4 years from now, to continue to do the things that we're called to do as a church, to practice mercy, to help those that are weak, to help those that are most vulnerable, to advocate for justice, who, regardless of who's in positions of power, to advocate for just laws, to support that things that are fair, and to criticize those that are not. And then at the end of the day, if anybody thinks that what we are doing is something wonderful, we say like the disciples said, like Jesus taught the disciples to say, worthless servants we are, because we are only doing what we ought to do, because we are moved by faith and not by fear. I hope that that's the case. Amen.